From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Polls are now closed in both states. Mitt Romney has maintained a comfortable lead in the Arizona polls.
But in his native Michigan, Romney is locked in a tight race with Rick Santorum.
We'll hear from Michigan voters on how they made up their minds today.
I voted for Mitt Romney because I think he is the most electable, and I'll do anything and everything to get President Obama out of office.
I voted for Mr. Santorum. Just because of the values that he stands for.
We'll talk with our reporters at the candidates' events in both states.
Coming up, analysis of today's Republican presidential primary contests.
This is special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries from NPR News. Big primaries today for the Republicans in Arizona and Michigan. And joining us in the studio is NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, where do things stand?
We do know this much, that in Arizona, an expected Mitt Romney win, which has been in the cards for quite some time, appears to be coming to fruition tonight as the first votes are tallied. And Mitt Romney has dominated here. He had the endorsement of John McCain quite early on. He's had more recently the endorsement of Governor Jan Brewer. Mm-hmm. There's a large Mormon population, and frankly, none of the other candidates really contested Arizona. Now, 29 delegates are going to go to Mitt Romney as a result of this vote, at least temporarily, although there could be a challenge to the—
Arizona is using winner-take-all despite national guidance. They shouldn't do that.
That's right. So if we do have a contested convention, then there will be a contest over Arizona's delegation. But for the moment, 29 delegates are going to Mitt Romney. Now, Michigan, mm-hmm. where all the battle and attention has been focused, is only 30 delegates. Now, it's a much larger state in terms of population, but because Arizona votes much more Republican, they get a bonus of a lot of extra delegates. So actually, Arizona is an equal prize to Michigan for purposes of this nominating process.
And so far, the vote there is very, very close at the moment. Mitt Romney with 41% of the votes counted so far, and Rick Santorum with 39%, but we're still way below a quarter of the votes. Melissa?
And now we're going to Mitt Romney headquarters and to NPR's Ari Shapiro in Novi, Michigan. Ari, what are you hearing? We had expected that we might be hearing from Mitt Romney by now, and that has not come to pass. What's going on?
No, everybody's prepared for what could be a very long night. There have been three kinds of primary and caucus nights so far, the ones that were predestined victory parties, the ones that were sort of the obligatory rally, even though he knew he was destined for failure. And then this is the third kind, sort of what we saw in Iowa, where nobody knows how this night is going to end up. People are milling around. They're very nervous. They're very excited. And we're waiting to see how it turns out.
And let's talk about what's in the balance here, Ari, because if Mitt Romney were to lose his home state, the state where he was born, was raised, went to high school, his father was the governor, huge stain on his campaign and lots of questions about how he would recover from that.
Absolutely. And as evidence of that, he held this news conference today. For the first time in almost 3 weeks, he took questions from reporters and really talked not at all about the fact that this is his home state, that he has such strong ties here, that this is symbolically a really important state for him. Instead, he really emphasized the delegate count, saying this is all about racking up enough delegates to get the nomination. And of course, when you look at it that way, this is not a winner-take-all state. If it is a very close race, the delegates may split close to 50-50 no matter who wins. It's a way of setting expectations for what could be a defeat tonight. We just don't know yet.
And let's talk about something that Mitt Romney was talking about today, and that was robocalls made to Democrats by the Santorum campaign. In fact, some by Rick Santorum himself, which Mitt Romney said he called it dirty tricks, an effort to kidnap our primary process.
Exactly. Tough words. These were calls because Democrats, I should know, the sound you're hearing behind me is the Ohio Attorney General Bill Schuette coming up to sort of warm up the crowd.
Okay.
But in Ohio, Democrats can at the last minute register to vote in the Republican primary. And so Rick Santorum was encouraging Democrats to do that. Many Democrats are more than happy to because they believe Rick Santorum would be an easier nominee for President Obama to beat and go to re-election. That outraged the Romney campaign. They were sending emails to reporters all day saying how egregious this was, and that's been sort of the topic of conversation all day.
And we should note that NPR has called the state of Arizona, the primary of Arizona, for Mitt Romney. Not yet a result in Michigan at this point with about, 12%, Robert? Are we up to 12% of the vote counted?
12% of the vote counted, and the margin is, it's less than 3% of the vote, so doesn't tell us anything yet about what the outcome will be.
Right. And Ari, explain a bit about the geography of the state and just the demographics of what parts of the state would typically help Mitt Romney and what parts would help Rick Santorum.
Well, just look at where the two candidates are tonight. Mitt Romney is just outside of Detroit. It tends to be Romney's stronghold in the eastern part of the state. It's where he grew up. It's, you know, where the auto industry obviously is based. Then Rick Santorum is in the western part of the state, in the city of Grand Rapids, which tends to be more of a Tea Party stronghold, better for social conservatives. Now, both men have obviously campaigned in both parts of the state, but as you move from east to west, from the Detroit area to the Grand Rapids area, you sort of go from what is considered Romney country into what is considered more of Santorum country.
Okay, Ari, thanks so much. We'll check in with you later tonight. That's NPR's Ari Shapiro at Mitt Romney headquarters in Novi, Michigan.
Ron Elving, is this result in Michigan? Are we talking about a razor's edge here that if Mitt Romney wins by 1,000 votes, he's considered, dodge the bullet, and he's the front runner once again without problems. And if he loses by 1,000 votes, it's a catastrophe for his campaign?
Well, as your question implies, that would be silly. That would be considering 1,000 votes.
I'm not sure that our profession is completely above silliness.
Wouldn't keep us from talking about it.
That is correct. And as I was about to say, the headlines we've seen throughout the contest in January and February suggest that even as many as 30 or 40 votes can make somebody a winner and someone a total loser on a given night.
NPR's Ron Elving. Thank you. This is coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona Republican primaries. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Polls are now closed throughout Michigan and Arizona. In Arizona, NPR projects that Mitt Romney is the winner. In Michigan, the race is tight.
With only 12% of the precincts reporting, Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney are effectively tied, each with about 40% of the vote. Romney just a little bit ahead of Santorum. Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich trail far behind.
Earlier today, Mitt Romney spoke about the close race in Michigan during a feisty press conference.
I'm not willing to light my hair on fire to try and get support. I am who I am. I'm a person with extensive experience in the private sector, in the economy. I understand job creation from a personal standpoint and from a theoretical standpoint. I want to use those skills to help the country. And if I get selected, great. And if I don't, I can live with that, too.
Well, we'll see how Mitt Romney fares tonight. We'll be bringing you more results this hour from both Michigan and Arizona as the numbers roll in. We'll also talk with analysts in Washington, D.C., in Arizona, and in Michigan.
We're going to hear now from Congressman David Schweikert. He represents Arizona's 5th Congressional District. Congressman Schweikert, welcome to the program.
No, I'm happy to be here.
Your take on the Mitt Romney win in your state tonight, a convincing victory for Governor Romney.
It appears to be very convincing, though, to the Romney forces. They never seem to go away. Over the last 4 years, they seem to have a campaign presence in Arizona that was always up and running.
What about the Tea Party voters in your state? How big of a voting block do you think they represent?
Well, I think it's actually a little more complicated in a Western state. Often we call someone a Tea Party voter, but if you look at them ideologically, they fit very closely and a close alignment with the traditional Republican voter in the Southwest. Arizona is often referred to as a conservative state. In many ways, I believe it leans somewhat more of a libertarian state. So if you and I were to go to a large Republican convention tomorrow, you would have difficulty defining who's Tea Party, who isn't. They seem to blend. It's somewhat of a homogenous group.
And I gather, Congressman Schweikert, that you did not endorse during the primary. Is that right?
No.
Why not?
I actually am a bit of an outlier on this. I'm one of those who thinks a long, grueling, tough primary is actually good for us.
You do. Explain why.
Well, let's walk through some of the scenarios. One, they've all become much better debaters, much more articulate in moving forward their issues. But even think about what we're doing right now. We're discussing the race. It will be all over the cable channels tonight and some of the broadcast networks. And the horse race is starting to consume the American psyche. It's actually creating some excitement and also excitement in the base of our party.
Well, the counter-narrative to that, though, that is that the longer this goes on, the favorability ratings for all of the Republican candidates are tumbling. They're doing worse and worse as more people learn more about them.
But if you watch actually some of those numbers, they bounce up and down. And if you and I were to step back 4 years ago and think about the race between Hillary and Barack, which is it? Is it Barack? Is it Hillary? Is it Barack? at some point, it got nasty, it got personal, they went off on side issues, but yet it actually helped build the base, helped build the organization, and actually captivated the public's attention. The last part of this I'll give you is also there's sort of a toughening up and a vetting process. If you were to think of some of the attacks that Newt Gingrich had launched on Mitt back in, what was it, North Carolina, those are obviously attacks that are going to come in the general election. They've been vetted now. They've hopefully learned how to respond to them. And actually, for much of the public, they'll now be old news.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Congressman Schweikert, thanks for being with us.
Happy to do it.
That's Congressman David Schweikert from Arizona's 5th Congressional District.
And joining us now by phone is Marjorie Dannenfelser, who's president of the Susan B. Anthony List, which has endorsed Rick Santorum, the nonpartisan organization that helps elect pro-life candidates. And tell me, Ms. Dannenfelser, how important is it to you as a Santorum backer that however close this race is in Michigan, he come out on top? Or does it really matter that much if he's close to Mitt Romney?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I have to say, listening to Congressman Schweikert before, I love NPR because it's a real conversation. It's very rare. So I'm going to give you what I really think. I think that that he has 12 to 1 been outspent. He's in a state where the favored son is Romney, for sure. He has been barraged with attacks on the economy and on social issues. And he's neck and neck. And I think that no matter how you look at it, he's either going to win or lose by a very small margin. And I think either way, it's a big victory. And I think that there's a lesson there. I don't want to filibuster, but I think there is a lesson there. I think there's a hunger. I think there is something going on different in the electorate now that I think he actually meets. I think he meets a hunger.
But let me ask you about some conventional wisdom, which is that to the extent that President Obama is a vulnerable incumbent, he's vulnerable on the weakness of the economic recovery and on jobs, on the economy.
Sure.
The wisdom goes, get lost in social issues, and the Republican Party could miss its opportunity, as they perceive it, to regain the White House.
Right. You know, I think that in the editorial boardrooms and inside the Beltway and in a lot of the decision-making forums, we decide, along with polling that we direct, that there are issues that are leading the culture. And there is certainly polls that bear that out. Mm-hmm. There's no question the economy matters. However, there are often deeper underlying issues in the culture that are historic. And I think that social issues, cultural issues, are often the issues that calibrate where we are as a culture on certain things.
Yep.
And so you may have an immediate, urgent response, but you also have an underlying trust in a candidate. And I think that one thing that Santorum has is an ability to appeal to, on the urgent level, to Democrats, people that are trying to get back. But there's also a rudder that he has.
But on that note, I'm sorry, our time is up. I'm sorry about that. Marjorie Dannenfelser, thanks for talking with us, though.
Thank you.
She's president of the Susan B. Anthony List, and you heard her case there that Rick Santorum is communicating with people both on economic issues but on deeper cultural issues.
And let's go now to our analysts here in the studio, E.J. Dion of The Washington Post and Matthew Continetti with the conservative online newspaper, The Washington Free Beacon. Welcome to you both.
Good
Happy
to be here.
Primary again.
Happy primary.
curious your take. We heard Congressman Schweikert there saying that a long primary process is helping all of the Republican candidates. Matthew Continetti, do you think he's right?
Well, I think it is helping in two senses. One is it's making them better candidates. And, Romney had been coasting for a long time simply on this aura of inevitability and this idea that, you know, he knew the words to America the Beautiful and therefore we should elect him president. This long campaign is actually making him state his positions more clearly. It's made him kind of retool his economic message and get more comfortable on the stump. And then in the other sense why it might be helping Republicans is they're getting out the attacks now. and preparing the ground for the general election in the fall.
EJ?
Well, I admire both Congressman Schweikert and Matt for trying to put a great face on this Republican primary. Matt's in a great mood because he just got married, for which we congratulate him.
Congratulations, yes. Congratulations, Matt.
Yes, absolutely. But, I won the marriage primary.
Yes. Well done.
Too close to call.
But I think that these candidates have actually gotten worse as they have gone along. And clearly, Republicans themselves seem to feel that way. The numbers in the polls among Republicans about how satisfied they are with their candidates have been drifting down. Conservative columnists are very upset with what's going on. Mike Gerson, my colleague at the Washington Post, President Bush's former speechwriter, said that, you know, when Mitt Romney talks about money, it sounds like he's talking to his stockbroker. Bill McGurran, another former Bush speechwriter in the Wall Street Journal, said some of the sharpest attacks on Republicans are coming from Republicans. When you look at this vote tonight, a win is a win, as the earlier conversation suggested. But Mitt Romney was supposed to win Michigan. It wasn't even supposed to be contested like this. His father was a popular governor. He won it rather easily in the last set of primaries, and now he's ahead by 3 percentage points. So
yeah, let's recap just where we are right now. About 28% of the votes in Michigan counted. Mitt Romney at this point at 41%, Rick Santorum at 38%, and about 9,000 votes and change separating the two. Again, 28% of the votes counted. We don't know what parts of the state those votes are coming in from. And as we pointed out before, areas around Detroit would tend to favor Mitt Romney, and the rest of the state may largely favor Rick Santorum.
I want to put to Matt Continetti the question of social issues. This past weekend, Rick Santorum found himself, in effect, campaigning on the snobbishness of urging everyone to go to college and the nausea over John F. Kennedy's speech to the Baptist ministers in Houston back in 1960. Did he lose his way, or is this effective campaigning in a Republican primary?
Well, I do think Santorum's in danger of approaching the Quayle Palin territory, where literally everything you say becomes fodder for attack ads and is seized upon by the media in order to create this caricature of you. He's not there yet, but he's getting there. And if he can dial it back, though, I think he does have a case for the social issues, simply because they are vote drivers. You know, they're the reason that people get out and vote at the end of the day, whereas a kind of a namby-pamby economic plan with the 20% reduction in tax rates, that's not going to get a constituency out to the polls. Social issues do.
You mean the fear that the social issue may go against you and your values will be violated?
Or an affirmative way that you want to, reduce abortions or so on and so forth.
EJ?
Well, first of all, I don't think attacking John F. Kennedy is a great way to win the Catholic vote. And even among quite conservative Catholics, there's great almost reverence for John Kennedy as the first Catholic president. Nonetheless, on that one, there is a body of right-wing or very conservative Catholic opinion that has criticized his Houston minister's speech. But the notion that you're a snob for wanting people to go to college, I thought that was snobbery in itself. Almost every working class person I know, and I grew up in a mill town, wants their kids to go to college. They respect education. They want their kids to do better in life. And I thought that was a terrible mistake.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Matthew Continetti of The Washington Free Beacon, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona Republican primaries. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. And let's review where things stand. Mitt Romney is the winner in Arizona. That's an NPR projection. In Michigan, though, it's a very different case.
It's a tight contest between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum. Almost a third of the precincts have reported, and it's about a 3-point lead for Mitt Romney. We're watching the numbers climb, and we'll be following them all for the rest of the hour.
And if we don't hear too much tonight about the other Republican candidates, Ron Paul or Newt Gingrich, that's because neither has focused much energy on Michigan or Arizona at this point. Ron Paul with about 11% of the vote in Michigan, Newt Gingrich with about 7%. And we're going now to NPR's Don Gagne, who is at Rick Santorum headquarters in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Don, what's going on?
Well, we're waiting for the candidate. We don't know if he's going to come out relatively early or if this will drag out as it has in a few other places. But I can tell you this is my fourth time this year at a Santorum election night, primary caucus night party. And this is the biggest ballroom he's had. And this is the most excited crowd. They come into this one anticipating Rick Santorum, their candidate, knocking Mitt Romney off in Michigan. But here's the other thing. The exit polls and the numbers that are coming in already show it to be very close. And for a lot of these folks here, that alone is a victory, given that nobody was talking about Michigan being on the table 3 weeks ago.
Very close, but with about a third of the vote counted, Mitt Romney holding about a 3 percentage point lead, they're still thinking there that will turn around before the end of the night?
Yes. There's not a good sense here of what counties have reported, how much of that is from Southeast Michigan, which, of course, would be a Mitt Romney stronghold, or how much of it is from the more rural parts of the state. But I can tell you, people here are anticipating good news. They're confident their guy's going to get a lot of delegates tonight, even if he doesn't win the popular vote. But nobody here is ready to cede the popular vote yet either.
And, we were talking earlier with Ari Shapiro about the controversy over the calls made to Democratic voters by Rick Santorum and his campaign. The Mitt Romney's campaign calls that dirty tricks. What does Rick Santorum say?
Rick Santorum says, hey, it's kind of the very, very kind of thing that Mitt Romney has encouraged when it benefits him in the past. That's what he said at a press conference. So he was very, he defended it. It's within the rules. And anything that beats Mitt Romney in Michigan, they are going to seize upon. I can tell you there is one guy in this crowd here who identified himself to me as a Democratic President Obama supporter who voted for Rick Santorum. He said he is happy to see this primary drag out, these battles drag out as long as possible. And he also said he felt a personal sense of needing to punish Mitt Romney just a little bit for Romney's stance on the auto bailout.
So you're saying he not only voted for Rick Santorum, but showed up at the party.
He showed up, and he's keeping
it
kind of low-key, but I see him engaging in a kind of quiet but heated debate over there with somebody over a table.
Okay. NPR's Don Gagne at Rick Santorum headquarters in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Don, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Our next guest joins us by phone. John Engler was governor of Michigan, Republican governor from 1991 to 2003. He's now president of the Business Roundtable, which is an association of CEOs of big corporations. He has not endorsed anyone, and he joins us now by phone. Hiya.
Good evening.
Governor Engler, you've suggested that the GOP candidates need to stop focusing on social issues and instead focus on the economy. That's been Mitt Romney's line. Why haven't you just endorsed Governor Romney?
Well, I'm at the Business Roundtable, and our association doesn't endorse. We don't even evaluate members of Congress. We work on public policy questions and try to get America back to work. And so we want people in office who will help on that agenda. But I think when asked, as a former governor of Michigan, about election politics, especially in Michigan, economic issues drive the debate for the most part. But in a primary like you're having today in the state of Michigan, social issues will play a role. That's one of the reasons that Rick Santorum's going to do well. He's had a very consistent, strong pro-life record over the years. He was, in some of the early data, a favorite of the people most closely mm-hmm. identified with the Tea Party. But Romney was the favorite of those who said, look, I'm concerned about jobs and the economy. He was the number one winner there, and I think that's held up. And I've always felt it would be very close. So I don't think 3 weeks ago it was a given for Romney. It was never a given. And remember, in 2000, George Bush, who won the nomination, lost Michigan, and in part he lost it because Michigan likes to be contrary. And you do have the...
And they voted for John McCain that year in the...
Absolutely. And I was the guy who said, well, Michigan will be the firewall. But we had probably an even greater percentage of Democrats and others participating in the primary. Michigan's got that kind of unique open primary process. Labor was working hard. And then even I heard Senator Santorum was working hard on getting Democrats out. So
Governor,
10% participation can change things.
Governor, one very quick question about Michigan and about the primary issues. The bailout, the auto bailout. Should the Republican candidate for president ultimately say that was a necessary, if distasteful, thing to do? Or should the Republican candidate say it was the wrong way to go? Just what's your gut, yes or no?
no, I think they should be consistent. And I think that's what Mitt Romney's been, is he early on identified that it was going to have to be a managed bankruptcy at a time when you had labor leaders and a lot of political leaders saying, oh, no, we can't imagine there'll ever be a bankruptcy. And he said that it would very likely require guarantees.
So his stand for you would pass muster as a position in the fall.
Well, it is his position, yep. And that's what it is. I think that there's no question the stimulus overall hasn't worked very well, and the very high unemployment. I heard one commentator on a channel today was saying, "Well, you know, the unemployment rate's come down in Michigan, but it was so high. Of course, it was bound to come down at some point. But the nation's been over 8% for 3 years." And
Governor Engler, thanks a lot for talking with us. It's good to talk with you, John Engler, former Michigan governor, now president of the Business Roundtable. Melissa.
And we're joined here in the studio by NPR's Mara Liasson, national political correspondent. Mara, let's recap the results. So far, 35% precincts returned in Michigan. Mitt Romney still leading with about, 41% of the vote. Rick Santorum with about 38%. Resounding victory for Mitt Romney? How do you read this, these numbers hold?
If these numbers hold, it's a win is a win, and he'll get to call it that. But it was awfully close for his home state, and he had to spend millions of dollars to dispatch a rival that most people would have thought he could have brushed aside with the back of his hand. So I think that if this holds, Romney will come out of Michigan having quieted some of the anxiety in the Republican Party, but still with lots of weaknesses exposed.
Okay. Stick around, Mara. We're going to come back to you in a little bit. You're listening to Special Coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. As expected, Mitt Romney has won Arizona.
But can he claim victory in his home state of Michigan?
Ballots are being counted there in a tight race against Rick Santorum.
Coming up, results and analysis.
It's special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries from NPR News.
And we're joined here in the studio by NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. And Mara, let's continue our discussion of what's going on in Michigan and what it might mean going forward. I mean, the thinking was that if Mitt Romney could not win his home state, that there were some serious thinking to be done by the Republican Party on what they do going forward. Do you think that this puts an end to that conversation, or does that continue?
Well, if we're going to assume that the results that we have now are the results, I think it quiets some of the fears. If he will have won his home state, if these results hold, by a couple points, but a win is a win. And you won't have the kind of hysteria and panic that you would have had if he had lost. I don't know what happens if you have a weird split decision where Rick Santorum ends up with almost as many delegates, which could happen. But I still think that this is a primary process that, as it's gone on, has made Romney look weaker, not stronger. When the Republicans designed this, they designed it because they wanted what the Democrats had in 2008, a long, hard-fought primary that, over time, made Barack Obama better, stronger, more formidable contender for the fall. They wanted that. But it hasn't worked out that way. Every time Romney has spent millions of dollars to vanquish an opponent that he shouldn't have even had to deal with in the first place, like Newt Gingrich or maybe Rick Santorum, he has incurred a huge cost. His negatives have gone up, particularly with independent voters. And what's worse to many Republicans is that the subject of the debate in the Republican Party has been social issues or contraception or who's more anti-bailout. It's been all about, as David Brooks said this week, I think it was tribal loyalty, or I mean, it was all about how much of a conservative are you, not what are your solutions for the economy, what is your critique of Barack Obama. So that's been really a problem for a lot of Republicans.
We should explain what you meant there by Rick Santorum could end up with more delegates. So what could happen conceivably in Michigan, because there's proportional allocation of the delegates, right, is that one of the candidates could win the popular vote, the other could conceivably win more delegates.
Because the delegates are
majority in each congressional district.
Winner-take-all, but by CD, by congressional district. So if you win a lot of congressional districts, even if they are sparsely populated, you could end up with
The congressional district should be should be roughly equally populated, the congressional
districts.
Well, no,
districts, no, no. Yeah. Well, some of them have more Republicans.
The other, how many Republicans
yes, because Mitt Romney's counties
are
heavily Democratic counties.
But it is as a result, what you're saying is it's plausible that both candidates could come out of the Michigan primary saying, I won.
Right.
Saying,
and
I won the popular vote, Rick, or I won
yes,
more delegates.
Rick Santorum could have some bragging rights. But I think the big threshold question is, does Mitt Romney win or lose in his home state?
Can we pitch forward just a little bit to Super Tuesday next week and talk about two of the other candidates in this race, Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul. Newt Gingrich in particular, who's, of course, banking on a victory in his home state of Georgia. Mara, what else should we be looking for next week?
Well, I think that Super Tuesday is 11 states, costs a lot of money to advertise in a lot of those states. I think that, Ron Paul, to the extent that he racks up delegates in caucus states, I mean, there is a cynical view now that all those delegates are going to be held in reserve for Mitt Romney when they get to the convention, because Ron Paul is now seen as kind of Romney's secret ally, or maybe not so secret.
Which he's denying.
Which he's
There's
denying,
no deal
of
that's
course.
Been struck.
There's no deal, but the fact is he just seems to attack whoever is rising to challenge Mitt Romney at the moment. And Newt Gingrich, I think, if he stays in the race and shows well on Super Tuesday, and there's some question about that even in his home state, he just prevents Mitt Romney from amassing the majority of delegates that he needs to go to Tampa with. But at the same time, he would prevent Rick Santorum from consolidating the conservative vote against Romney.
And let's recap where we are again. NPR has projected that Mitt Romney is the winner in the Republican primary in Arizona. In Michigan, about 38% of the precincts reporting about a 13,000 vote margin. Mitt Romney had about 3%.
Yeah, 41 to 38 or so, yeah. Which is a pretty close primary race.
In the home state of Mitt Romney.
In the home state of Mitt Romney. And once again, in Arizona, it really wasn't close. Mitt Romney is going to be the winner of the Republican primary there. And Arizona, at least until someone says otherwise, at the Republican National Convention, will award him all of its delegates on a winner-take-all basis.
29 delegates from Arizona. You're listening to special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona primaries from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
I'm Robert Siegel.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Michigan and Arizona Republican primaries. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. To recap what we know, one win tonight for Mitt Romney, and the other contest is still too close to call.
NPR projects Mitt Romney is the victor in Arizona. In Michigan's primary, results are slowly coming in, showing Romney and Rick Santorum about 3 percentage points apart. Mitt Romney does have a slight edge there.
Back to Arizona, though. We're going to talk now with Representative Jeff Flake. He represents Arizona's 6th Congressional District, and he's running for the U.S. Senate seat that's being vacated by Senator John Kyle, also a Republican, and he is a supporter of Mitt Romney. Congressman Flake, as you see it, what were the main issues that motivated Arizona voters today in giving Mitt Romney the win?
Overwhelmingly, the economy. Arizona has suffered pretty badly with our housing crisis, but it all relates to the overall economy. And I think that Arizonans saw Mitt Romney as the best person to help us get out of this.
How does immigration compare with the economy as an issue for Arizona Republicans?
Immigration will always be an issue when Arizonans kind of bear the brunt of the failure of the federal government to deal with the issue. But overwhelmingly, the economy is far and away the biggest issue.
What do you make of this argument as to whether the prolonged Republican primary season toughens and hardens the candidate so that Mitt Romney is a stronger debater and a candidate than he was a few months ago, or that it's really driving up his negatives and as he goes after his opponents, it makes him less attractive to independent voters? Which side do you take in that argument?
Well, I think whether we admit it or not, those of us who favor Mitt Romney would like to have this over sooner rather than later. Having said that, I don't buy the notion that it's crippling to have it go on this long. I think that there is something to having these debates and having all the visibility, but overall, we'd rather have it done.
He admitted, Governor Romney admitted today in a little news conference, that he knows he's made some gaffes that have hurt him. Is he going to be a flawed candidate in the fall? Is he somebody who's not showing you what you need at the top of the ticket?
Oh, everybody makes gaffes. If you look back at the last race for president, Barack Obama made a number of them. And remember to the clinging to guns and religion. things like that. But when you get to the election or to the big race, when you get to the general election, you know, overall trends in the economy and, mm-hmm. you know, there's just plenty of time to focus on the candidates where one little gaffe here or there doesn't make as big a difference.
Governor Romney does seem to have a little problem, though, when it comes to talking about his wealth. And I'm just wondering if you had any advice for him. What would you suggest he think or say to stop saying things that some people find a little bit odd coming from him?
I'd say just embrace it. He's rich. Get over it. And I don't think that people will hold that against him as much as he perhaps thinks that they will. And so my advice would be to embrace it and move on.
Okay. Well, Representative Flake, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona, a Romney supporter, and Mitt Romney has done very well in the Arizona primary tonight.
We're going to hear now from Tony Perkins, who's president of the Family Research Council. That's a socially conservative Christian group, and he joins us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mr. Perkins, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
And I gather you have not endorsed a candidate. You have written op-eds that are supportive of Rick Santorum. What do you make of what seems to be shaping up, so far at least, in Michigan? We have Mitt Romney ahead by about 3 percentage points, about 41% of the vote coming in so far. What do you think?
Well, you would have thought that Mitt Romney would have been able to kind of walk away with his home state. I think this underscores the difficulty he has had in closing really the deal with Republican voters. I mean, he's raised 10 times the amount of Rick Santorum, outspent him 2-1 in Michigan, but yet he's having, it's close. He may come out on top in Michigan, but it's going to be too close, I think, to claim a real victory.
And what about in particular with evangelical voters? Do you think that Mitt Romney has a real problem in attracting broad support among that voting bloc?
I think it's broader than just evangelical or social conservative. It's conservatives, the Tea Party, the strong social conservatives, both on fiscal and social issues, he's having difficulty with. Rick Santorum is carrying the Tea Party vote as well as the social conservative vote. So, yeah, I mean, he does have some problems. His credentials are not very strong with the conservative part of the party.
So what does that mean? I mean, if he were to be the eventual nominee, is there a real problem in terms of enthusiasm for him as the standard bearer for the party?
No, I think that is. That's the key. I don't think it's a matter of they're not going to vote for him, because certainly when you compare him to Barack Obama, there is a clear distinction. But it's an issue of enthusiasm. It's intensity. How hard will they work for the candidate? Will they talk to their neighbors and friends? Will they talk about him when they're at the dry cleaners or at the barber shop? And that's a real issue, because this is going to be a very, very close election, and intensity is going to, I think, make the difference in the outcome of the general election.
Curious what you made of Rick Santorum's comments, repeating this notion that he wanted to throw up when he heard President Kennedy, then candidate Kennedy in 1960, speaking to ministers and talking about the role of religion in public life. Did Rick Santorum make a serious misstep there, do you think?
Well, I think he this morning said that his word choice was not the best. He probably could have chosen different verbs or descriptive verbs. But I think the issue that he was making was not that John F. Kennedy was making a line of separation between the institutions of church and state, which I think most everybody in America agrees with, including evangelicals, because that's not good for either institution. But later on in the speech, when John Kennedy said he wouldn't allow his faith to impact his decisions, that's what was troubling, because that's this idea that somehow we have to separate truth and morality from the public square. And that has really manifested itself just here in the last few weeks with what this president has done in breaching that line, if you will, of the separation of church and state by using the power of the government to force the church to fund and participate in things that violate the very teachings of their faith.
A lot of people, though, who are very familiar with the Kennedy speech say what Rick Santorum said was a fundamental misreading of what Kennedy had said, that Kennedy was making a plea for religious liberty, and the public square had really nothing to do with that.
Well, not actually. If you read on in his speech, you could certainly take that the interpretation that Rick Santorum had. I do think he was. I mean, it's a much different world 50 years ago. I mean, we had one member of the Supreme Court that was Catholic. Today, we have six members of the court that are Catholic. There was strong, really tension between Protestants and Catholics, and there was great concern that John F. Kennedy would be controlled from Rome. And that was, I think, the major point that he was making in that speech, that, you know, no official from the church is going to dictate what happens in the White House, as it should be.
Okay. Tony Perkins, it's good to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Good to be with you.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council.
Our own Ari Shapiro is at Romney headquarters in Novi, Michigan. We actually expected Governor Romney to speak in the previous hour. He didn't. First, do we have any news of when he might address his supporters?
No news of when he's going to address his supporters yet. People are dancing. They're playing the music. It's a chipper crowd. The fact that Romney seems to have won Arizona is definitely something these people are pretty thrilled about. At the same time, I should tell you, I just overheard a senior Romney staffer say, and I quote, "I can't wait to get this big Michigan monkey off my back." So there's certainly some desire for this night to be over.
Let's talk a little bit about the Michigan monkey.
Right.
About 40% of the precincts have reported it's a 3% lead for Mitt Romney. Do people there seem to know where the votes have come from, where the votes have not come from, so that they can get a sense of whether this lead is likely to hold up or whether Santorum's strength has yet to be seen fully?
Well, the map is trickling in a little bit erratically at this point. It's sort of piecemeal, and you know, we know that the stronghold of Detroit is going to be good for Romney, and the western part of the state and the Upper Peninsula, Grand Rapids, up towards Marquette, and those areas will be better for Santorum. As of now, though, it's not as though one huge chunk of the state is all reported and another huge chunk has not. So it's hard to say exactly where things are going to go from here.
And that margin, about 41% of the Republican primary vote in Michigan for Mitt Romney and about 38% for Rick Santorum, has held up now for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. And that's sort of what we saw in Iowa, in Colorado, both states that were really, really close with Romney and Santorum up until the 11th hour, where in both cases Santorum eked it out at the very last minute, or in the case of Iowa, really a few days after the last minute.
quite a few days after. Okay, Ari Shapiro in Novi, Michigan, at Romney headquarters. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
And Michael Dimmick with the Pew Research Center has been looking at the exit polls from today's votes. Michael, what jumps out at you?
Well, the pattern we're seeing, it fits with what we've seen nationwide and in the previous polls. The strong conservative vote went to Santorum. The more somewhat conservative vote goes more towards Mitt Romney. But this was a less conservative electorate than we've seen in some of the earlier primaries. A few more of those soft conservatives, some more moderates. You saw that most people said that defeating Obama and experience were what they were looking for, and that those votes went overwhelmingly to Romney. The folks who said they were looking for a true conservative or the strong moral character went to Santorum, but that was only a minority of the voters today.
Any sign of a gender gap that you're seeing in these numbers?
Only a slight one. We saw a bigger gender gap in Florida when women went for Romney over Gingrich in a way that the men didn't. Here it was only slightly, and Romney did slightly better among women than Santorum did.
And this notion of Democrats casting tactical ballots in the Republican, or perhaps sincere ballots in the Republican primary, what do you see? What do the exit polls tell you?
Well, it could be there. 9% of the people in the exit poll say they're Democrats, and the majority of them say they cast their vote for Santorum today.
There's a little bit of a shift in what we're seeing now, Robert, in Romney's direction, right? 49% of the precincts reporting Mitt Romney now at 42% and Rick Santorum at 37%.
A five-point lead looks a little bit more comfortable for Governor Romney right now.
And Romney won the Republican vote. The majority of voters are Republican, and he won by 10 points.
Independents?
The independents were split evenly, so didn't go towards any candidate, and Ron Paul doing better there.
And in Arizona specifically, anything to jump out at you with the Hispanic voters? You don't have the
Arizona
results, so we have no idea. No idea. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael Dimmick, Associate Director of the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press.
One of the things we don't know right now is why Governor Romney's camp had sent out word that their whole event would have been done
by 9:05.
By 9:05 Eastern time, and he still hasn't come out. Perhaps perhaps things look better for them right now.
They may have been projecting not so great news and wanted to get out ahead of it, but maybe then things turned around and they think they have more to say later on. So we're waiting for that speech.
Okay, this is live coverage of the primaries in Arizona and in Michigan from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Michigan and Arizona Republican primaries. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. And reviewing the results so far in Arizona, the outcome is clear. Mitt Romney is the winner.
In Michigan, there's been a fierce contest between Romney and Rick Santorum. And Mitt Romney now has a slight lead, about 3%, as the vote count continues.
There have been a lot of ups and downs for the leading Republicans in Michigan. Earlier today, Mitt Romney spoke about the state of his campaign.
I'm very pleased with the campaign, its organization. The candidate sometimes makes some mistakes, and so I'm trying to do better and work harder.
Romney said he still expects to be the Republican presidential nominee.
Rick Santorum spoke earlier today in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he drew a contrast between himself and Romney.
I'm not running for the CEO of a company. I'm running to try to get conservative principles that made this country great, that allowed for companies like Governor Romney's to be successful, to create that platform to do it. And that's where I've been successful.
That's Rick Santorum today. Now we're going to turn to the scene in Arizona and the participation of Latino voters. Joining us by phone from Scottsdale, Arizona, is Didi Garcia-Blaze, who's the co-founder of a female-led political movement that's aimed at raising voter turnout among Latinos. It has the wonderful name. It is the Tequila Party. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
From what Latino voters in Arizona heard from the Republican candidates, is the Republican Party back in the good graces of Latino voters, or are they back where they were 4 years ago, having seriously lost a lot of support over immigration?
They are in worse condition than what we saw in 2008.
Worse condition.
Correct.
I mean, is it simply because all of the talk about walls and deportations have alienated Latino voters?
I think it's worse this year because Mitt Romney has aligned himself with the architect behind many of these anti-immigrant, anti-Latino laws, Chris Kobach, Pete Wilson. As you know, California is our neighboring state. Pete Wilson is a familiar name in the Southwest, and the Republican Party is in much worse condition.
In what states do you think Latino participation and and favoring Democrats and President Obama could actually be decisive?
I believe Arizona could very well turn blue this year. We saw in 2008 where Colorado, the Democratic Party in the state of Colorado, managed to churn approximately 225,000 Latino voters due to the Tom Tancredo effect. I see them doing the same, applying that same blueprint here in the state of Arizona. They've got it's the perfect storm for the Democratic Party because the state of Arizona is already a purple state, where a third are approximately independent voters. I'm an independent voter. Mm. A third are Republican, and just under a third are Democratic.
But it's a state with a Republican governor, two Republican senators. It's a state that hasn't elected a Democrat, voted for the Democratic candidate for president, I think, since 96.
Right, but remember, there are approximately 800,000 eligible Latino voters. Only half of those are registered, and post-SB 1070 era, the anti-immigrant law that Jan Brewer signed, it motivated Latinos, and certainly the states touching the state of Arizona, it motivated Latinos to come out in droves in an off-year election. I know that the Pew did an excellent job of evaluating the Hispanic voter across the nation, but if you sort of pinpoint the Southwest, you'll find that states and Latinos in states touching the state of Arizona did an excellent job. We came out in droves during an off-year election, and 2012 is going to be dynamic for us.
Well, we'll watch as the weeks go by and see what happens. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
It's Didi Garcia-Blaze, co-founder of the Tequila Party, speaking to us from Scottsdale, Arizona.
And we're waiting for remarks by Mitt Romney in Novi, Michigan. But we're going to go first. NPR's Ted Robbins at a Mitt Romney rally in Phoenix, Arizona. Is there a tequila party there where you are, Ted?
There may be a tequila party, Melissa, but I don't know about the
tequila
party.
I see.
Senator John McCain is up on the podium right now addressing. He is Governor Romney's primary surrogate here tonight, along with two of the governor's sons, who just spoke. And I mean, yes, absolutely, there's a party.
And what's the message been from Senator McCain as he thinks about these results there in Arizona?
You know, as the saying goes, a win is a win. And I think they're expecting a double-digit win here. I think the official results ought to be out now, coming out any minute. You know, they'll take it. And it's also a winner-take-all state, so they get all 29 delegates. Now, there's an asterisk there, which is that if somebody challenges at the convention, some of those delegates could be taken away from the winner, because Arizona broke party rules by going a little earlier than it was supposed to. But as Senator McCain said, or a little earlier to me, a win is a win. He would not predict how long this is going to drag out, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that I suppose is a bigger question.
Right. Ted, we did just hear Dede Blaze say that Arizona could conceivably turn blue in the fall. Are you hearing a lot of people say that there?
You know, just speaking of tonight, all the exit polling that I saw and my own experience at the polls today, illegal immigration did not play a very big role. But we're only talking about Republicans now. It's a closed primary in Arizona, so only Republicans could vote. As far as the numbers, the pure numbers, she's right. The state is a third independent, a third Democrat, and a third Republican in terms of registration, roughly. But Latino voters have traditionally voted at a lower rate than Anglos. And so it's going to be a matter of get out the vote.
Okay. NPR's Ted Robbins. NPR's Ted Robbins at Mitt Romney headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. Mitt Romney, again, did win the Arizona primary, and we're waiting on final results from Michigan. Ted, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
In Michigan, almost 60% of the precincts have now reported, and Mitt Romney maintains a four-point lead over Rick Santorum. He's got about 40% of the reported vote, Santorum with about 36%. So, It's still a close race, but the lead has held up at more than 3 points now for quite a while of the count. I'm joined by NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Mara, if Mitt Romney were to maintain that lead throughout the night and win big in Arizona, can he at some point count on getting an obvious glide path into the convention and the nomination?
I don't know at this point if he can get a glide path until he starts winning a number of primaries by healthy margins. One thing that the Romney campaign and the Republican establishment want right now more than anything else is for this thing to be sewed up. They want to stop this circular firing squad kind of destructive, unforced error filled Republican primary and start aiming their fire at Barack Obama. And they can't do that until he can start winning decisively. I don't think he's vanquished all the questions about his weakness, but I do think that a win like this, if this holds up, will help him go a certain distance towards that.
Okay, that's NPR's Mara Liasson. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News.